Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. And shout out to our resident super producer and regicide expert, the research associate for this episode, Mr. Max Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Regicide. I love that word. Do you remember a death metal band named Deicide?
Yes, to kill a god.
To kill a god. All these asides.
And there's patricide.
And we will have many asides of our own in this episode, most likely, in terms of tangents.
A lot of poop jokes, by the way. I'm Ben, you're Noel. We are a no pun left behind kind of crew. And we want to start, of course, with the requisite disclaimer. Every single death is a tragedy. However, as time passes on, and you get a little distance, you can see the gallows, or in this case, the poop humor in some of these unfortunate things, especially when we're talking about medieval era royalty, who had a tendency to be corrupted by the power that they wielded.
You know, we talk about the Song of Ice and Fire books a lot when we accounts of royals and some of their bad behaviors. You may recall, spoiler alert, I guess, for the series, a major character that gets killed by a crossbow while sitting on the privy.
Yes, this is a continuation of our ongoing Royal Deaths series. Check out parts 1 and 2 in your podcast feed of choice. This one, like you said, Noel, this one has a little bit of a little bit more of a focus as well. In this episode, we're exploring the stories of British monarchs and a German-born Russian empress who all died in weirdly similar ways, depending upon which historical sources you trust. So shout out to some of our sources: Khalid El Hassan for History Collection, Yoda Suzuki, MD, and Abe DeAndre Jr., MD, for National Library of Medicine. Of course, Britannica.com. More and more, I'm persuaded that they're just solid with a lot of their research. And spoiler, Elizabeth Maxim, grunge.com, great people of history who died on the toilet.
100%. So why don't we get to it, or should I say poo-poo it? I shouldn't, but I did.
No pun left behind.
No takesies backsies on Ridiculous History. George II, 1683, born, passed away 1760. He was the king of Great Britain, the elector of Hanover, and a prince elector of the Holy Roman Empire, of course, until he passed away. He was a constitutional monarch, so this was a little bit different than the, like, you know, power bestowed by God, right?
Like absolute monarch, yeah, yeah. So there were some other people in the room who could say, I don't know, man, I love to yes and you because you're the king and you could kill me, but... So let's talk it through.
We're in the era where Parliament is really starting to kind of take the reins, right?
We're in an era wherein people are still accepting the notion that royalty and monarchy are divinely inspired and decreed, but the role of some demographic of the people is increasingly prominent, right? So as a constitutional monarch, our buddy George II, to your point, he doesn't have a ton of control over concrete British policy. However, people, I don't want to say mascot, but kind of mascot, the people love this feeling of continuation, right? Of legacy, oh, yeah. Of stability. And the British Empire also prospers during George's time as king. He is the last British monarch born outside of Great Britain. He is also the last British monarch to personally lead an army into battle. Queen Elizabeth just never quite got there. That battle took place in 1743, the War of Austrian Succession. Mm-hmm. George commanded troops in what is known as the Battle of Dettingen against a French army.
That's right. And then in 1745, there was a bit of a political scare when an uprising was staged by the Jacobins in order to restore the Stuart dynasty to the throne. But this was an abject failure. So more or less during George's tenure, things were pretty, you know, pretty easy going as far as political regimes go.
I mean, especially in comparison to some other historical reigns. Thing about George, he wasn't everybody's favorite guy because he did not seem to be a man of the people to the public. He had a thick German accent. Mm-hmm. He was not himself a yes-ander. He was a no-butter. He was negging people constantly. He really had a short temper, and he was called boorish often. And boorish does not mean boring.
No, it means a slovenly kind of layabout, I guess, or just someone that lacks decorum, someone that doesn't know how to read the room. And he was not very well liked. You mentioned his accent. He was, in fact, once a small young German boy, and that carried along with him throughout his reign. And that accent alone was sort of like a bit of a red flag to the proper Brits of the day.
Yeah, and still... One of the main drivers for what is considered a successful leadership position is how your country is doing while you're in charge. There was a lot of growth in prosperity for Britain. There was a lot of growth in prestige. The British Empire during this time was continuing its expansion to become the empire where the sun never set, with possessions around the globe.
Mm-hmm. And just to throw this note in here, this is the guy that our state of Georgia is named after. It's this King George. I want to, because there's three in a row. It's right. This one right here.
Okay. Good to know that our state, our fair state, was named after a man who suffered about as undignified a death as one could. Much similar to the king of rock and roll, Mr. Elvis Presley.
It's October 25th, 1760. A morning like any other, as Tom Petty said, it's good to be king. And so our boy George wakes up 6 a.m. sharp. Good on you for not sleeping in, George. And he has a cup of hot chocolate.
Yummy, my hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm. He was probably mad about it, knowing George. And then he went to the royal toilet and he had a difficult conversation with his facilities. The polite way to say it is he overstrained himself and he had an aortic aneurysm. And this happens to people more often than any of us would like to imagine.
If anything, I would hope that the legacy of King George II, besides, you know, the fair state of Georgia, is a lesson to the people to eat lots of fiber and don't strain. The toilet is not a place to read the paper. Do your business and then go elsewhere. Don't just sit there pushing. It's bad. It's bad for the bod.
Let it happen to you. And also, just be the wave in the ocean. Also, shout out to squatty potties, which are apparently way more healthy for you. Anyway, we do know, if you'll recall, Ridiculous Historians, in our previous episodes on royal deaths, there are a lot of historical questions, right? There's a lot of vagary in the sources just because of the amount of time that passed and because, honestly, of the importance of the people. So we have to remember that history is always written with a slant. So it's difficult sometimes to get the truth about embarrassing deaths of powerful people. In this case, though, we do have some solid sources, more so than others.
Because, oh, do we?
Oh, we do, Noel, because Mr. Andrews, the house surgeon, closest thing they have to a, you know, Dr. McCoy, he is immediately brought in after George's valet hears a crash in the bathroom. He sees that the king has fallen from, and Max, really? He has fallen from his throne.
I'm quoting the source. I'm quoting the source.
Ah, yes, that's our buddy Khalid Elassan. And so he falls from his throne, his commode, and this surgeon, Mr. Andrews, is brought in and says, "I can't revive the king. I better keep taking his blood away."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was always going to work. That's definitely, it was certainly the science of the times. But after multiple attempts at bloodletting, it was pretty clear that the king had passed from this mortal coil. I don't know. Did he ever get the strain result in anything? I don't think he. When you die, you kind of you poop yourself.
You
usually
evacuate on death.
One would hope that at the very least, he got it out
At the very end. But there are modern doctors who have looked back at this case in specific. There are primary sources. We know a Dr. Nichols performed an autopsy on the king's cadaver and embalmed him as well, meaning we have an autopsy report. And this means that in the modern day, medical professionals have been able to examine the case and they have some differing opinions, with the benefit of modern technology and modern learning, you can poke holes in some of the autopsy.
That's right. We have a perspective from some modern physicians, Yota Suzuki, MD, and Abe Dianda Jr., MD, wrote in a paper revisiting the death and autopsy of King George II for the National Library of Medicine. And they had this to say: first, as noted in the description of the autopsy, the aorta did not rupture. The right ventricle ruptured. Surgeons have long observed bleeding from the epicardial surface of either ventricle associated with an acute aortic dissection, typically originating from tracking of subadventitial blood from the aorta onto the surface of the heart, not as the result of a hole in the ventricle. Okay, totally get that. Secondly, again, going against Dr. Nichols' hypothesis, going back to quoting the piece, with modern experience with pulmonary hypertension and with real-time monitoring with either right heart catheterization or continuous monitoring with a pulmonary artery catheter, we know that systemic pulmonary artery pressure or a pressure surge in the artery will not result in rupture or perforation of the right ventricle. Instead, such high pulmonary artery pressures result in acute failure of the ventricle. For example, the pathophysiology seen with a large pulmonary embolism. Third, King George II had been having cardiac symptoms for some time. I think that's the important takeaway here.
Yeah, because he had, even back then, they knew enough about the circulatory system to know that the king had a bum ticker, because he had complained about what would be called distresses and sinkings about the region of the heart. If we unpack this, because of course there's a little bit of high level medical terminology, there everybody is saying that his heart gave out. They're just talking about how it gave out and where, right? How the system broke down with arteries, ventricles, etc. We don't know for certain then the absolute specifics of how King George II did pass away, but we do know where.
He
died on the toilet.
He did.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
Let's move on to another royal who I believe was named Edmund Ironside, Edmund II, E-D-M-U-N-D, which is a fun spelling of Edmund, born circa 993, died November 30th of 1016. He was the king of England from April 23rd to November 30th, 1016, and the son of King Ethelred II, the Unready.
Best king name of all time, and he pops up so often.
Wasn't ready. He was caught unawares every time.
Because this series, I've been learning a lot more about this time in history, which I really didn't know anything about.
Yeah, but
this guy just is always like omnipresent. He did nothing as king, but he was king.
But he
was just
everywhere. He wasn't ready.
He was always there. He was always king twice.
I picture him in like a sitcom where they introduce people by their names. I want him to show up in the sitcom intro montage, you know, where the people look toward the camera and do a little bit. And I want him to not have been ready for his shot in his guest slot in the camera. You know, I want him to be on his phone or something. And like Edmund making a milkshake. Anyway, Edmund here, street name Edmund Ironside. He possibly died in a similar restroom or water closet location. He went against his dad in the name of romance.
You love to see that.
Yeah. Ethelred II said, "I'm not ready," classic Ethelred, "for you to marry the widow of this Danish lord that's occupying English territory. I think you're doing it to up your chances at gaining the throne." And Edmund was like, "You're not the boss of me, even though you're the king. So,
and you don't understand me, dad. Mm-hmm, leave me alone."
And nevertheless, when England was invaded later in 1015, Edmund did raise an army in northern England, and he ravaged areas of the world that wouldn't back him up. That's how he got the street name Ironside, because of his, quote, staunch resistance to that massive invasion, which was led by a Danish king named Canute, I want to say.
Fun note, either his son or grandson became king also, and his name was Hardy Canute. It's probably not how it's pronounced, but it's how it's spelled, Hardy Canute.
I love a good Hardy Canute.
I just let out a Hardy Canute. I blame the chili.
Just be careful. We don't want to have you on the next part of this series, Ben.
Expiring on the commode. No way to go. So when his father, Ethelred, passed away in April of 1016, there were some, you know, counselors and a citizen group of London town that declared that Edmund was their ruler. But there was also, of course, there's always disputes when there's a monarch who passes away. There was a larger body of more moneyed gentry, perhaps, in Southampton. They declared for Canute.
They were like, "We like the Danish guy better." And your dad was just really never ready for anything. He was never on time.
They were in cahoots with Canute.
And if I'm remembering correct, I could look this up really quickly, but I'm not going to. Canute's dad had been king of England at one point, because there was like...
I believe that's correct.
Ethelred was king, then Canute's dad was king, and then Ethelred was king again. Mm-hmm. And then now it's Canute versus Edmund, who's Ethelred's son. Going real Game of Thrones right here. That's really what's going on.
And so Edmund decides to go proactive with it. He says, "I'm going to be more than ready." And he launches a series of attacks against his rival, Canute. And Edmund is doing pretty well. He regains control of Wessex. He saves London from a siege. He eventually is defeated by Canute at Ashington in Essex on October 18th. And they have a peace settlement. And in this peace settlement, you know, they talk turkey, they jibber jabber, and Edmund gets to keep possession of Wessex, and Canute gets all the land north of the Thames, the River Thames. And then after Edmund dies, probably of natural causes, we're about to get into it, Canute becomes the sole ruler of England. People are wondering, is it a natural cause, an accident of fate, the dark lottery of unfortunate events? Over at grunge.com, Elizabeth Baxman, who mentioned earlier, says that Edmund died suddenly on November 30th, 1016. He was a very young dude, by the way. He was in his 20s, and his cause of death was originally listed as having occasion to retire to the house for relieving the call of nature. His brother-in-law hid in the pit, in the outhouse pit, and stabbed the king twice.
What?
From beneath a dagger, left the weapon fixed in his butt, and then escaped the bathroom. So death by butt stabbing.
Okay. So can we just really quickly paint the picture, these would have been sort of a more brick and mortar version of like a porta potty, right? So there's like a area underneath where the stuff goes. This guy would have been up to his ankles in human waste.
Ankles is very optimistic.
He would have been in there. He would have been.
Remember the soap episode. This is we're in the time period where they didn't use soap. Also.
Right, right. And so this.
What does that matter when he's in human shit?
Well, it's because the human shit ain't going to our afterwards. He's brought him back. He's like, oh, the king is dead, and his pants are just covered in fecal matter. He's like, he died on the throne.
Everything's fine. I wasn't there.
Exactly.
We got to find out who did this. It's like the hot dog sketch, and I think he should leave.
And this comes from, this description comes from Historia Anglorum, which is a history of England written by Henry of Huntingdon, first published in 1129. Anyway, the other theories say that maybe someone was hiding down there and shot him with an arrow, or maybe somebody was hiding down there and got him in the booty with an iron hook.
I bet George R. R. Martin took some inspiration from 100%. A lot of these for what I described earlier. Yeah.
100%. Song of Ice and Fire is very loosely inspired by the War of the Roses as well. So this account is heavily disputed. You'll hear a lot of historians, the majority, in fact, I would say today, arguing that Edmund did die from natural causes. But if it's natural causes versus the repugnant story of someone hiding in a little pond of poop to kill you through the butt, then you're going to go with that story.
He left it in there. Insult to injury.
Well, he can't think about it from his perspective. You can't be running around with it. You're already covered in poop. You look suspicious.
It would have been so much easier to just like murder people secretly. There were no fingerprints, no DNA, nothing. You know, it was just about like hearsay. If he didn't have an eyewitness, which there wouldn't have been, what's more private than literally the privy? And no one else is going to be down there.
Good Lord.
This would have been connected to a sewage something, like a cistern perhaps. So maybe he could have even crept in there from some other entrance.
From outside.
I'm
also thinking, you know, the murder weapon would have been the key indicator of regicide because, to your point, Max, it probably was way more common for people to run around covered in poop. He was not the only guy who had poop on him.
And also, if you're stabbing someone from underneath in
they're
the
gonna
butt,
bleed.
All over you. So this guy's covered in poop and blood and potentially guts, because that's what would come out. If you stab someone in the butt hole, they would get gutted probably.
Especially if you're pushing, you're straining
And then you're pulling, because to stab twice, you would have to pull out.
We're going to flag this one as explicit, aren't we?
Didn't you say there was a hook? Was also potentially in play?
Yeah, we might tag this one as explicit because we're talking about prolapsing disemboweling at that point.
Oh, this is some goatsy stuff right here, man. Yeah. Don't look that up.
Well, since we're already here, let's go to one of the biggest myths that needs to be busted.
Oh my God. Sorry.
Catherine the Great, which is a way cooler nickname than the Unready, for many years, you may have heard this too growing up, if you were a history buff. For many years, one of the dirty legends about Catherine the Great was that she died having sexual congress with an animal, specifically a horse, that she was a zoophile. That's not true. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
None of it, that the death I get, but was she in? I mean, I know she was into some kinky stuff there. Have you seen that show, The Great, I think it's on Hulu. It's definitely sexy intrigue. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's hard to tell what all's real and what's all fake.
You know what?
Because everyone's just slandering everyone.
It's what I'm saying. Well, not, and I think because she was a strong woman who owned her sexuality, men didn't like that. And I'm sure rumor mongering was just running wild. And how better to slander someone for their sexuality than to say something vile, as vile as this, you know?
And you say it after they die.
Right.
And she was also not native to Russia. She was a princess born in Germany who became the Empress of Russia from 1762 until she passed away in 1796. And she got the
Tsarina, a term I was not aware of. But it's sort of like a queen versus king, I guess. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah. So she only becomes the queen or the empress is the term they would use, because her husband, Tsar Peter III, was assassinated. You know, you got to wonder about the state of their marriage. It was very much a political thing, not a romance thing. People at the upper echelons of society at this time didn't often marry for love. She was married off at age 14. The marriage was disastrous because Peter was mentally unstable, extremely neurotic. And Max, to your point about how history is written, there were a lot of historians posthumously saying that he was impotent. So 18 years of just an absolute horrible relationship.
I think a lot of that is dramatized in The Great. It's been a minute since I've seen it, and I haven't finished it. But it's very good, and it's very funny, actually. I believe Yorgos Lanthimos has something to do with it. The guy who did The Favorite, and he's got a new movie coming out. It's called Poor Things. It's sort of like a Frankenstein kind of story with Willem Dafoe as like a Victor Frankenstein type figure. It's supposed to be great. I'm a big fan of his work. But yeah, definitely... could understand why she would work her way to not taking any crap from anybody after being treated so horribly for so long.
Yeah, and she did have children, or issue, as they would be called in royal parlance.
I don't know that. That's me too. Learning so much today, guys.
She had a series of lovers, and she herself strongly hinted that none of the kids she had were actually her husband's. And Peter was a Grand Duke when he married this 14-year-old. And eventually he becomes the Tsar of Russia in 1761. And he is terrible at this. All he does is talk trash about Russia and talk about how Germany is so much better. Imagine if Steve Jobs went up on those Apple, you know, TED Talk things and just talked about how great Microsoft was and said that iPhones stink. So that was the czar. He was not good for morale. He tried to get rid of his wife several times, like as in kill her, not divorce her. But she also hated him. And so she joined a conspiracy to stage a coup in 1762. Peter is arrested. He is forced to abdicate the throne. And just like in a week or 8 days, he is murdered. Catherine, gains the throne and the crown. She is the empress. For 34 years, she will rule Russia. You can imagine this was controversial.
Indeed. And she ruled, I believe, quite successfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, she did a good job. So when she passed away, unfortunately, these rumors started to circulate that because of her insatiable sex drive, again, I'm quotation fingers here, that she died from sustaining injuries resulting from, as you mentioned, Ben, intercourse with a horse. The truth, however, while embarrassing, was not nearly as inflammatory. The truth, in fact, was that she had been suffering from bouts of constipation.
Mm.
And much like our first entry in today's episode, perhaps may have pushed a little too hard seeking relief while on the privy.
And suffered a stroke.
She would have been of more advanced years here as well, right?
Yeah, she was 67. And the thing people don't tell you about being the emperor, the empress, the king, the queen, really any high level royalty, is that you don't often get to poop alone. You have valets, you have maids who are following you around. They're waiting outside the door, maybe. Mm. And that's what happens to Catherine. These folks are her maids, her retinue is waiting outside the door for her to finish her deposit. And she is grunting, she's groaning, she's, you know, she's making all the noises you've heard in airport restrooms. And then when she stops grunting, her maids look at each other and they say, okay, wow, that was a weird one. Thank God, you know, the empress has got it out. And they wait, and then they keep waiting, and they wait longer and longer. The minutes drag on. Eventually, one of them decides to risk their career and say something like, your majesty, all is well?
Yeah, there's a fine line, right? When you're attending to somebody and you have to literally wait outside for them to do their business, at what point do you come a knocking, you know?
And shout out to Death of Stalin.
And like the way, like we've talked about, like the czars and the empresses, like remember we had that episode, that two-parter about the empress that everyone like hated or whatever, who's evil. Like if you interrupted these people or did something wrong, you're dead. You're
they
gonna
kill you.
They'll execute you, or they'll make you be a jester or something.
Right. And jester, the role of the jester itself is an episode I want to write in the future, because that's way different than it's portrayed. And
dressed in motley.
And sometimes, yeah, we might have to tag that one explicit too. So they don't hear an answer when they inquire about the empress. And so eventually they take a peek into the water closet and they find her dead on the commode. According to, again, our pals at Britannica, this is not a 100% proven story. In fact, they think it is woefully inaccurate.
I mean, you're going to print the most interesting version of the story, I guess, or at least that's the one that people are going to remember. She suffered the event that led to her death while on the toilet. So for all intents and purposes, she died on the toilet. However, the truth is more likely that she actually passed the next day as a result of the stroke. She had the stroke in the bathroom, and then the next day she did pass away on November 17th of 1796.
Mm-hmm.
No horse involved whatsoever.
No horse involved, as far as we know, and probably not a horse involved in the death of Ironsides, just because it'd be tough for it to get into the lavatory pit. And then, you know, you don't have to love horses, but let's face it, they haven't stabbed anyone.
I've been taking a lot of tours lately, and I went to the Detroit Institute of Art, and I was reminded how in a lot of like Renaissance paintings, there are horses in the most intense contortions with these really aggressive, like, you know, flared nostrils, and they're all reared back and stuff. I'm a big fan of the depiction of war horses in art.
There's a great exhibit, a samurai exhibit here at the High Museum, where you can see real life samurai horse armor. It is so cool. Look up a picture if you get a chance. Visit if you happen to be in town. And then also I was at the Prado recently in Madrid, and they are all about some of those paintings, man. I also like the weird symbolism where all of a sudden in a medieval painting, there's some guy with a snail. Or there's some guy with a well, look what kind of hijinks I'm in expression while they're being ripped apart. Anyhow, yes, these stories are important, and they tell the way they are told tells us about the society in which they were created. And so it's a struggle. History is an active thing. It is a struggle to determine the truth, but we're very happy today to end our episode by conclusively telling you it's got the ridiculous history stamp of approval. Catherine the Great did not die in some sort of TMZ situation with a horse. So put some respect on her name.
Indeed. But yeah, I think that gets us through this installment of Royal Deaths. And as Max pointed out in our conversations off mic, these are some of the most popular episodes we do. So we're just giving the people what they want. Y'all are messed up, not Max. Max right. is not us. We're good boys and girls.
It is condiments, a UFO episode, and this. They are just above everyone else.
I've got more condiment episodes too. I'm excited. Okay. Oh, condiments are so great. And yes, as Noel said, thank you as always, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks our research associate and super producer, Mr. Max Williams. And let's all remember the main takeaway, whether you feel you are a prince, a princess, or a pauper, or a peasant. Don't push yourself. Literally, don't push yourself on the toilet.
Or if you're John Popper from Blues Traveler, who lost a lot of weight and still blows those harmonicas with aplomb.
And thanks also to Christopher Hasiotis. Thanks to Eves Jeffcoat. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed this slap and bop. Shout out to our pal, Gabe Luzier. We also had a Quister run-in in Vegas.
A run-in, but not an appearance.
No, his rider is crazy as he becomes increasingly villainous.
We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.